Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Business Transformation Conference Call. My name is Sophia, and I will be your coordinator today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. We will be facilitating a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please key star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. I would now like to turn this presentation over to your host for today's call, Ms. Denise Talasis. Please proceed, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thank you for your patience. This is Denise Talasis from the Cisco Analyst Relations Department, and I would like to welcome you to our Business Transformation Teleconference. As a reminder, we will be using MeetingPlace to view the slides for today's call. The URL was sent to you in the reminder email that I sent out yesterday. In today's teleconference, we will discuss how business leaders are keen to understand the business value of implementing UC-based solutions and the impact on business processes. Based on real customer engagement, this session will provide insights into how customers are leveraging Cisco's unified communication platform to reduce total cost of ownership, increase productivity, and transform their businesses to drive new revenue and change customer experience. After the presentation, we will have a question and answer period. The operator will poll the participants on the phone lines for any questions that you may have. Please note, we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and I wish to thank you in advance for providing your candid feedback. So today's presenters are Manjula Talreja, Sherry Schunger, and Brian Sampson. Manjula is a senior director in Cisco's Voice Technology Group. She runs the Customer Business Transformation Organization as a member of VTG's leadership team. She leverages her 20-year industry background in business strategy consulting and operations of large-scale IT applications to help Cisco's top customers with business transformation using this unified communications technology. Internally at Cisco, she also helps drive VTG's growth strategy. Shailish helps customers and partners drive business change leveraging unified communications. Prior to this, Shailish was a director in Cisco's Internet Business Solutions Group. Shailish has more than 15 years' experience in high tech, including VP operations at Avidian Group Bull and the communication and information practice at Mercer Management Consulting. Brian is a director at Cisco Systems on VTG's Customer Business Transformation Team, where he leads the financial services and manufacturing practices. In the business transformation team, Brian works with many of the world's leading companies to help them drive productivity and accelerate capturing business value through effective business processes and technology deployments. I would now like to turn the call over to Manjula.
Thank you, Denise. I hope everybody can see the slides. The three of us, like we did in end of September in Toronto, will be sharing with you case studies that we were not able to complete during that meeting due to a shortage of time. So let me go over to my slide number two and talk about basically focusing on, like we did last time, we had covered what that team is about, what we heard from you earlier, and how are we scaling within the organization. But today's call is predominantly on case studies of live customers illustrating business transformation. Before I get into the case studies and Brian and Sherry help me do that, I wanted to share with you three key takeaways I'd like you to have at the end of this session. Point number one is we are definitely seeing that Cisco is leading the way, guiding customers to drive business results via UC. We've seen a change of tone over the last couple of years as we've been doing this extensively over the last few years. The tone in the industry has changed, and here is where it's changed. Customers are now searching for and are finding business value. About 2 years ago when I had presented to you, I talked to you only about TCO and moving towards productivity and business transformation, and you noticed in September when we met, I didn't even talk about TCO because TCO is becoming table stakes. Every CIO wants TCO. But the customers now are asking for business value versus just TCO. And the number three thing is the impact of business value is not, from a transformational point of view, it's not small numbers. It is about 7 to 10 times more benefits they're seeing versus TCO. So the point number one, like I said, is definitely we are seeing customers talking about business value, business transformation, a lot more than they ever have, and they're expecting that now. Point number two is this is not just about productivity. This is just driven by collaboration. This is about changing business processes. We had talked to you last time about a couple of case studies. We talked to you about HDFC. We talked to you about where we talked about the virtual expert. And that overall company did go live with the pilot that they're implementing. They're rolling it out in production in many more branches. And fundamentally, they're changing their processes. They're changing completely the customer, how the customer is interacting with the branch. So my point is it's not about employee productivity as a result of collaboration tools. This is about the processes changing and how the customer's experience is changing with the processes changing and the customer's process changing on how they're interacting, case in point, in HDFC in a bank. Or the Mitsukoshi example given, or all the other examples that we have given in the financial vertical and the ones that we were starting on in the manufacturing vertical. The third key point that I'd like you to take away after the session today is that this end-to-end platform is essential in capturing the business transformation. You're not talking about just desktop phones. You're not just talking about the rollout happening just on PCs. This is about vertical applications being deployed on multiple devices. This is about open platform needed to be integrated with other vertical applications, operating systems, multiple devices, including mobile devices and location-based services. So just want you to be aware that's what you're seeing. And in the next few case studies, you will see what I'm talking about in terms of a whole series of unified communications solutions and tools going into the solution rather than just one. So let's go to the next slide. This is a familiar slide for you folks. We had sent it out to you folks as well when our analyst relations group sent out an email with our document. And I just wanted to touch on it briefly, which is we covered retail last time. We covered financial services. Today we will cover healthcare and manufacturing. And you guys got lucky, whoever's on the call, because we're not just going to talk about mobility solutions like the nurse call at a hospital or the collaborative care where they're being able to pick up translation services from a third party that a patient comes in and needs translation. We're actually going to share about 4 or 5 case studies in healthcare. We've seen a huge amount of uptick all over the world in healthcare, and we thought it would be good in terms of sharing a lot more than just these two solutions. And then as we have time, we'll cover a couple of solutions in manufacturing because I know we have short time today, just an hour to cover. But you will see a lot more solutions than what we are talking about here, at least in healthcare. We decided to expand it further in at least one vertical based on time. The last slide before I hand it over to Shailesh is there were questions and feedback after the last session saying, all the solutions you're talking about, we kind of have a sense either we are working and helping customers on it or we are seeing or you have shared it with us earlier as a concept, as a vision, and now you're seeing it in production. So one key point I want to make is fundamentally we have sharing with you everything that is either in production or in pilot. We haven't shared anything with you that is a vision. So let me share with you one key slide, one solution per vertical that we are seeing as future and something that you will be seeing in the future. Financial services. You're seeing a lot of the thought process and strategy that we are driving in the future in reference to video contact centers. It's going to start off with a one-way video, move to a two-way video. But what's more important is, like I talked to you about unified communications, that there are multiple pieces that are coming together of UC. And here we are seeing social signaling, which is the next generation of analytical reporting. MIT has done research on this where they are able to do analysis through reporting based on tone of voice whether a customer is ready to buy right away. So imagine a scenario in a use case of a video contact center the customer, they pick up based on social signaling what is the customer's tone of voice and if you're ready to buy. And at that point, they can bring in subject matter experts based on presence and other UC technology to win the sale. Huge amount of thinking going on from a strategy point of view in this area, in the financial services area. In the healthcare industry, as you know, there is experts in multiple hospitals and multiple locations that need to go and solve a customer's problem, whether it is the cardiologist, whether it is the radiologist that needs to be pulled in order to provide customers or basically patients a certain kind of service. And that's when we are talking about the strategies that are coming, emerging in terms of federated presence in a multi-company environment, including video, so that the patient can be seen from a remote location where the group of people are being pulled in from multiple sites, and it's not just one-to-one from one medical center. The third area that we are seeing in terms of manufacturing is UC integration in PLM applications. As all of you know, PLM applications are becoming top of mind for a manufacturing company as either their first, second, or third initiative. And I don't know whether some of you know that there is, for example, a WebEx application that has been integrated into PTC as a PLM application, but it is going well beyond that in reference to how engineers all over the world versus right now where they're just calling each other and having a quick call and transferring design, how that whole go-to-market in terms of, or rather, whole development cycle could change significantly with this integration into PLM applications, well beyond where we have started with WebEx and PTC. And the last point is the federated presence enabled in supply chain collaboration and retail. As you know, the retail industry is on very low margins. The supply chain needs to be very optimized. And if there is one major crisis in one location somewhere in the world, the time turnaround is absolutely essential for a sale that would probably happen in Boston, where the design may have occurred in Milan, the fabric bought in Thailand, the manufacturing in China, and one crisis in one location could basically make or break a major sale on Labor Day weekend in Boston. So, just wanted to share some of these emerging solutions, and then let me hand it over to Shailesh in terms of healthcare for him to get onto a university hospital on connecting imaging in the healthcare industry.
Thank you very much, Manjula, for the introduction. Going on to the next slide, what we're talking about is here is a university hospital that is in the process of piloting and testing out a solution that's all about connected imaging. And fundamentally, as you can see in the workflow, what is happening is you have a radiologist who is looking at the results of a scan. And what happens is if they find an unexpected result or they find something that is not appropriate, the Cisco Unified Communications Platform is integrated with the PAC solution. So PAC stands for Picture Archiving and Communication System. So it's actually integrated into that. And what they have done is have taken an icon, put it onto the screen, and what the radiologist is able to do is click on the icon. And the icon fundamentally goes to the Cisco Unified Presence Server and pulls up the personal communicator of Cisco, puts it on the screen, where there is a pre-filtered list of physicians displayed there that they can actually meet to a CAN contact related to that patient's CAN, and allows them to, in real time, do a collaboration session with the physician that they need to talk to, and actually have a discussion around what could be happening, what is the right level of care that is required, what is the emergency that needs to be handled, and be able to then take that and be able to deal with it immediately. So the two key aspects here to think about is that number one, it obviously optimizes the workflow. That is sort of the productivity element of that, which is it optimizes the workflow. The transformative opportunity of this is the fact that it's done a few things. One is because you can now have the ability to actually record the call and that does it for emerging. There's some emerging regulatory issues that are coming up. So it actually is ahead of the curve on the regulatory issues. You can actually record the call for regulatory reasons to say the discussion did happen and what was the reason for implementing the care plan that was being implemented. The second thing is when you think about the ability to change and in real time, being able to decide what kind of patient care is needed and what kind of benefit you can provide to the patient, that is dramatic. Right? The other thing that's happening from a time perspective is today between 30 and 60 minutes are being wasted by the radiologists of this university in actually locating, identifying, and getting to the referring physician. Now they can actually do it immediately. So you can think about the radiologist throughput of their productivity going up by about 10%. This is just, if you think about it, this is optimizing the workflow sort of one sort of workflow. You can already think about, it's not easy to think about the other major workflows that can be optimized. Just using a similar system, you can do radiologist to radiologist across multiple hospitals, etc. You think about many applications of this. Going to the next slide, talking about, again, collaborative care. This is an interesting application where it's a consortium of hospitals on the West Coast have actually got together and have implemented the solution. So what happens is this is about a translation, it's about a patient who arrives at a hospital and actually is English is not their first language and needs translation to actually provide care to them. So what actually happened was the way this first got implemented was there was a team in there that was trying to do this and trying to implement the solution. And we're getting some sort of pushback from the medical staff. And one day they actually had a patient in the emergency room who needed translation services. They could not communicate with the person. They couldn't figure out what to do. And they got a member of the housekeeping staff, somebody who was there cleaning the floors, actually pulled that person in. And they say, can you help us with the translation? The team that was implementing the solution happened to be on hand. They actually rolled in the solution into the emergency room and said, look, why don't you just plug this in and give this a try? So they plugged it in and they actually asked the physician to press 4-4 and then 1-4-1, et cetera, to get to the right, to get to two things. One is the right language and two, the right specialty. And within 30 seconds, they're actually connected to an interpreter who understood that area of specialty that was needed. Obviously, from then on, there was no problem rolling it out. It's now rolled out to this consortium of hospitals. The way the system works is what they actually do is that you have a video camera. So it actually is mobile. It's on a cart, sits on a cart. And depending upon the exam room the patient is in, you actually wheel the cart to the exam room. You ask the patient certain questions when you need it. You just plug it into the wall. You press the right buttons for language and specialty. It first looks for and will connect to somebody who can provide the translation services in the hospital. If it is not, it will then look for and go into the consortium of hospitals. And as a tertiary service will then go out to a paid service, which obviously tends to be more expensive, but will then go externally to find the paid service and actually connect to the paid service. So the benefit of this has been that the interpreter productivity is increased by over 200%. The patient waiting time has been dramatically reduced. Right? Patients could come in and wait anywhere between 20 minutes to 2 hours to get treatment while people were looking for an interpreter. Now that can happen in seconds, happens in real time. And so the time per patient is down now to, the average time is down to 17 minutes. When it used to be, the average time used to be 37 minutes. The other thing that has obviously happened is the interpreter productivity has gone up dramatically, and the hospitals are saving over $400,000 a year in just the first year in being able to provide the service. The other aspect of this is that the payback is phenomenal, not just from the interpreter productivity, but because of the amount of money saved in the hospital by doing unnecessary medical tests. For example, somebody would walk in and say, Jesus, I'm having a headache, I'm having this problem. Because they couldn't get the right interpreter services, they would actually end up ordering a whole battery of tests. just to be able to try and identify the problem. Now having the right conversation with the right person, being able to provide the right level of interpretation for a given specialty, they're able to actually identify the problem and be able to provide much better care. The medical errors have been reduced. The other thing that has happened is that the patient satisfaction has gone up dramatically because the patients are getting much better care now. So the demand for this is phenomenal, depending on which area of the country you're in. This is out in the West Coast, where more than 25% of the population needs some sort of interpretation, and these hospitals are getting more than 125,000 requests per year to do that. Moving on to the next slide, which is a nurse call solution being implemented in a northeast hospital. Here what has happened is that the solution is actually integrated with the Roland Borg nurse call system. So Roland Borg is a vendor that makes nurse call systems. And Emergen is a partner that has an integration product that is a Cisco partner. And here what is happening is that the workflow has completely changed from what used to happen where a patient called and needed some assistance would press the button. The Roland Borg system actually sets off an alarm at the nurse's station. The nurse then pages to say bed number 24 needs assistance. Somebody needs to come down to bed number 24 to figure out what's going on. Now it actually gets routed to the nurse that is in charge of bed number 24, sees the alert, can actually, on just by pressing one button, be connected straight to bed number 24. And the phone next to the patient comes alive. You can have a conversation with the patient to figure out, are they really having a problem, just need a drink of water, just wanted to say hi to the nurse, you know, whatever the situation was, and then accordingly make the decision to respond to that need. There are two great advantages to this. So number one is that there has been a 20% reduction in the response time to the patient request. But the other thing that has happened is that the overhead paging has been reduced by 85%. That overhead paging was a major driver of patient dissatisfaction. Because here I am in bed number 22 trying to go to sleep, and because bed number 21 needs some help, the paging system goes off. And I'm not being able to get the required rest. So there's been a dramatic increase the physician's belief in the quality of care and the sort of recovery time that the patients are getting. Going to the next slide. Here is an engagement that we have done with Mayo Clinic. And again, this is obviously under NDA. The engagement is still underway with Mayo. So just wanted to say that the name is under NDA and confidential. What we did was, like any other classic engagement, we went and talked to a number of physicians and with administrators. There are three major groups at Mayo. There's the research group, the clinical group, and the education group. But we focus on the research group and the clinical group at this point. What we found was that there are four major broad categories into which the problems that they're having or the communication issues fall into. One is personal productivity, which is all about trying to give time back to the physicians and the researchers to be able to actually do the work they have to do versus focus on mundane tasks. Collaboration, which is about physicians being able to effectively and more richly communicate with each other, that will all lead to enhancements in patient care. Mobility, which is all about the physicians being able to provide the right quality of care irrespective of where they are located. And then there is this whole category of the external stakeholders. And if you just think about the external stakeholders, one of the key drivers of Mayo Clinic's revenue and reputation is all the referrals that they get from the external physician. So when we actually broke this up, we said, okay, there are four major categories that we need to sort of think about where the issues could lie with communication and collaboration. If you go to the next slide, we came up with solutions with the Mayo team. So this is joint work between Cisco team and the Mayo team. We came up with solutions that we thought would be appropriate to address all those concerns. I'm just going to highlight two of them. One is the contact centerpiece. So the contact centerpiece with the external stakeholder, to be able to have a better interaction with the referring physicians is mission critical to Mayo's future pipeline and revenue. That is how they get the referrals. That is how their patient pipeline comes. That is how they make their money. And if the referring physicians are going to have a hard time interacting with them and being able to find appointments and being able to quickly get their patients in there to the right specialist at the right time, they're going to go to somebody else. You know, why would I go to Mayo Clinic? I could also go to Cleveland Clinic. Or I could go to, you know, St. Jude's Hospital. So there's lots of alternatives that they have. And Mayo Clinic wants to dramatically change that experience that the referring physicians have. So that becomes a competitive differentiator for them. The other thing to think about is you can actually turn that around where we've done some workshops where they're thinking about it and saying, I could actually quickly turn that contact center from an inbound to an outbound one, and I can have people who are, if it's not a busy time, if I'm not helping people online or I'm not helping people on the phone, I can turn it to things like the billing stuff for outbound calling. The other piece to talk about is on the extreme left of the chart, which is finding experts. So this is in real time. There's a physician I'm sitting with a patient. I examine the patient and I need to find XYZ kind of specialist. So I'm a cardiologist. I need to find a GI expert, right? And who's online? Who's available right now to be able to provide the care? The way it works today for them is if Shailesh and I is a cardiologist, I just happen to know that Brian Tanzen, a colleague of mine, is a GI specialist. And, you know, I typically pick up the phone and call Brian and say, Brian, I'm with the patient, I need this help, and Brian will help me out. But what if Brian's on vacation? What if Brian's in surgery? What if Brian's out of the, you know, sort of at a conference and speaking? So being able to go to, you know, who are the same people that have Brian's capabilities and qualifications and drive towards actually getting the solution to better patient experience then is what the issue is. These sort of the initial benchmark analysis that we've done for them shows that we're looking at about in the region of about $7 million a year just in terms of productivity gains of finding the right person at the right time. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Brian to talk about the next few case examples.
Yeah, thank you, Shailesh. So one other example that we want to share is a very concrete example of UC-enabled solutions that's being deployed as a pilot right now at a hospital in the UK. And we're sharing this under NDA, but we will have more depth that we can share with you a couple months down the road. Here, the opportunity that this hospital is addressing is integrating UC with location services to help the nurse staff and patients track down hospital equipment and other staff that are essential to provide care. And here's an example workflow that they're deploying where a nurse is looking for something simple like a porter to help take a patient when they're ready, you know, via wheelchair or a bed to somewhere else in the hospital. And the opportunity is to reduce the delay in finding these assets and by doing so improve the patient experience and also increase the productivity of the staff. So they've actually leveraged the CUAE, the Unified Application Environment, to program a workflow together with applications for location services and the Cisco 2710 location appliance with speech recognition from Nuance together with both Wi-Fi phones and also fixed phones. So that now when a nurse is looking for example, a porter, he or she can issue a voice command and the software would automatically determine the location of the nurse based on the location of the phone and then identify in rank order the nearest equipment assets, you know, in terms of wheelchairs or porters, and tell the nurse where to go to reach them, and then at a click of a button would actually communicate to send a page to that porter to tell them to come to the nurse's location with the wheelchair. They're also looking to integrate this into RFID tags so that they can use this not only to find equipment that's in service, but wheelchairs or other equipment that is not in service. The application, if you go to the next page that I already gave a summary on, is using the full unified communication stack, as well as I mentioned, the location services applications, and using the application environment from Cisco to program this workflow that ties it all together and then offers up the service based on XML integration into the phone displays. So those are our healthcare examples. When we got together in Toronto, we ended in showing one example in manufacturing, which is Oracle, a software company, and how they were driving some pretty significant cost savings at about $30 million, plus driving greater agility and productivity, which they were estimating the potential to be $200 to $300 million per year. And then now looking at how they could use the enabled application for their customers internally and externally, and starting to think through what some of those opportunities would be, leveraging the platform. We wanted to close today on two other examples in manufacturing of companies that are not software, but more traditional, heavier manufacturers, and show how unified communication is being used to improve application performance on the factory floor. And the first example is showing where it's reducing communication latency, manual communication latency, and therefore significantly increasing the velocity of response in a process plant environment. And then the next example shows where you're actually leveraging UC integrated with applications to provide supply chain management and customer service applications directly on the factory floor itself. So in this example, this is actually a South American metals and mining company that has very large process plants that are 2 to 3 miles in scope. And it's a great illustration of what we call the last mile problem, where it's very difficult to communicate to people that are in a warehouse environment or in a plant floor where they're not tied to a fixed phone in their office, and therefore they're very difficult to track down and reach when you need to communicate with them. And in this case, this plant had a number of operators that needed to check process data in control rooms to make adjustments when the process would be unstable. On a good day, this would happen 3 or 4 times a day, with each time literally taking 15 to 30 minutes just to walk to the control room. And on a more unstable day, the operators were having to make that journey to and from the control room more like 6 to 8 times a day. This company has deployed Internet PDA devices that are integrated with Cisco Call Manager, a solution that we will be announcing shortly. And that is enabling them to, wherever they are in the plant environment, to quickly make a change and make a call into the control room to make whatever adjustments are required, eliminating several hours of wasted walking time per day per operator. Also, it lets them reduce the number of physical control rooms by 50%. And then finally, it also has let them improve decision-making and respond faster by over 80%, which is obviously the biggest source of dollar value to the business. And just like in the previous example where you had a number of Cisco plus non-Cisco components that were enabling these solutions, here as well it's a combination of the external device integrated with as I mentioned, the Cisco Call Manager. If we go to the next slide, here's another example of a customer that is leveraging Cisco phones on the factory floor to provide supply chain information to their workers in warehouses. And the workflow here is a customer would frequently call into the warehouse needing a replacement part. The agent would, in the past, have to take a message or would not really know if they could fulfill the order or not. So one of Cisco's partners, DW Morgan, has actually integrated the supply chain systems directly onto the phone displays themselves via the XML, where the agent can now pull up part inventory and complete the order on the IT phone, as well as bringing up the customer information in terms of install base and upsell the customer on additional parts that are coming up on warranties. And they've seen a big increase in customer satisfaction, aftermarket sales, and an extension of inventory and supply chain visibility, both for themselves, but also that they're extending to their supply chain partners and suppliers via the system. And you may ask, why not put PCs on the factory floor in the warehouse to provide the same application integration? This customer found that there were several reasons why it made sense to actually offer them over alternative devices like the phone display. One was that this was a more secure option. In obviously, in a warehouse, you have lots of people that are milling around, and with an XML integration onto an IP phone, you can't download it, you can't print it, it's more controlled. Also, a PC is, from a training point of view, they found to be very appropriate if you had a few operators that needed very deep access to information. But if you wanted to offer more of a light amount of information to a larger number of workers that were not necessarily high-skilled workers, the phone would be a much easier to use access device requiring lower training for them. So those are, again, just a snapshot of some examples of how people are leveraging these solutions across a variety of different areas, and I think you'll be struck by the diversity in terms of the enabling solutions that they're merging with Unified Communications platform to offer these capabilities.
I think, Brian, if I may just add to Shailesh here, I think what we find is that as you walk through the examples and you'll get a version of the slides, what you'll find is that there is a wide variety of technologies, both Cisco and third-party being used. For example, whether it's our wireless technology being added on, whether it's third-party RFID solutions or third-party applications, connecting to a wide variety of Cisco platform-based things, you know, whether it's a core unified communications manager, whether it's an applications interface connecting to an application the customer has, whether it's a presence server, whether it's a personal communicator, meeting place, IP phones, wireless phones, all those things sort of, it's a bunch of different elements that are going up to make up the solution. So the solution is all a function of sort of Cisco technology, Cisco UC platform with a number of components on it, and third-party applications and integration products.
Denise, if you would like to open it up for questions, I think we have enough time for the next 15 minutes to answer any questions the audience might have.
Okay, thank you. And thank you very much, Angela, Shailesh, and Brian. That was a wonderful and informative presentation. Operator, at this point, I would like to ask you to please poll the audience for any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in order received. Please press star one to begin, and we will pause for a moment while we compile a list of questions. And your first question comes from the line of Susan Holbert. Please proceed, ma'am.
Yeah, this is Terry White. My question, one of the examples, like in healthcare, it seemed to indicate that the contact center was the solution. So there was an example where you used call routing to find the right translator, and there was another example where you used call recording. So how does this work? Do you make physicians, call center agents, or are you able to extract an element out of the contact center offer and add it to a UC capability? Thanks.
So this is Shailesh. Mazula, you want me to take that?
Yes, please do, and I could add to it at the end as well.
Okay. So the contact center, Cisco unit, so that was based on the translation one, it's sort of based on the platform, but the core product that sort of does that is the Cisco Unified Contact Center Express product. What that does is you're actually able to connect to the directory that the hospital is using, where you've actually identified who might be people in the directory. So you can actually connect to the directory services in the hospital and pull it up from that and sort of list them as people. You can do that. Does that answer the question?
No, my question was, what does the customer buy? Do they from Cisco? Do they buy Contact Center Express and make all of the physicians who need to use that locator make them pay for a Contact Center agent license, or how does it work?
So they buy two things. One is they really buy the Cisco video phone. That is the endpoint device. The second thing is that as part of the solution, what they do get is a Contact Center Express product, and that they don't have to buy agent licenses. But what it does is the Contact Center product does the routing by taking from the directory in the hospital and identifying the people it needs to be routed to. Did that answer the question?
So they buy that Contact Center Express application,
yes,
but they don't need to buy individual licenses.
Yes. So the Contact Center Express solution is for SMB market, which is plug and play. And what we have done is we have noticed is a lot of customers are using this plug and play solution to route appropriate calls, even though they are not large contact center solutions. But it is very appropriate for routing calls to the appropriate person.
And
they don't buy it as a contact center agent or as if it is a contact center, but they're really taking a quick plug-and-play solution and putting it into their main offices.
And I think you're referring to the solution where the three hospitals were providing the translator services. So in that case, you did not have doctors sitting in a cloud in a contact center, but it was a pool of translators that was easier to offer over that virtual in that virtual manner. If you look at the radiology example that was before that, that's not using contact center, that's using presence to find the referring physician and more of the traditional enterprise tools so the doctor can stay in their office and in their, you know, and use the traditional unified communication tools to see if they're available or not available and then click to connect to them or send messages to those physicians as appropriate, with all the benefits that Shyla talked about. But there again, the answer that fits with the cultural needs of the business isn't to try and put doctors in a contact center, but rather to integrate with them where they are to improve communications and collaboration.
Right. In that case, I was thinking about the call recording. Is that the capability out of contact center? Is the capability, you just hit the button on the Cisco IP phone? How does the customer buy call recording for that example?
On the call recording, that could be either way, but if it's not in the contact center, it could be an application such as on Cisco Unified Application Environment that's doing the recording of the call. IP acceleration, another thing that you could offer that.
So the connecting imaging, just to give you an idea, connecting imaging, I know we didn't talk in depth about the technology, just to give you an example, the connecting imaging example, the customer did an integration of a whole series of unified communication products on the platform. We have the Unified Communication Manager, CUAE, which is the application integrator, Presence Server, Proxy, which is a personal communicator, meeting place, that was for the conferencing, IP phones, and then it was integrated to PASS and other add-on integration modules. So this is truly bringing the entire platform together, and meeting place is doing the recording in that one.
Thank you.
And your next question is from the line of Brent Kelly. Please proceed, sir.
Hi, this is Brent. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, Brent. Nice to hear from you, Brent.
Hi. Thank you very much for the presentation, everyone. I have a question with respect to how you integrate in with the organization business processes. From what I've seen on several of these, it looks like there needs to be some, some process maps developed and some identification of roles of individuals involved, integration in with probably corporate directory, specifically with maybe inventory systems in one of the examples, or control systems in some of the other examples. Do you have a methodology that you use to kind of identify these roles and the processes and then develop these mappings and move them into middleware development? How does all that work?
So here is how some of these, and I'll take a shot at it. Transition, Brian, would you like to start, or should I take a shot at it?
Go ahead. Okay.
So, Brian, the way it works is basically from our point of view, this is how the overall process works. The CBT team, as in our team, goes in and helps them at a high-level strategy on how what they need to do in terms of building the strategy and what are the potential use cases. Then our sales team puts the whole solution together in conjunction with a couple of organizations at Cisco or with some key partners or both. So we have two organizations at Cisco. One is called the Advisory Services, and one is called Advanced Services. The Advisory Services does exactly what you're talking about, as in helps them in terms of very detailed process maps, in terms of how the integration needs to happen, what should be the reference architecture from an overall perspective, and we do actual process consulting. Advanced Services goes in and then implements it. If Advisory Services and Advanced Services are not involved, we work with some of our major partners, and we are growing those partners extensively, both in terms of boutique partners per region, as well as very large partners like Accenture, IBM, Infosys, and others that do that. So we're building a very large ecosystem of partners who go in and do that.
Thank you very much. Are there any methodologies that, for example, the advisory services that they use that you're aware of to do process mapping and these kinds of things? Would that be a discussion I might need to have with some of them?
You're most welcome to have a discussion with them. Yes, they have some very structured methodologies on how they go about doing that. And they do it for all Cisco technology, advisory services. It's for all Cisco technologies, not just for UC. But yes, I could introduce you, Brent, to Sheila Tolson, who leads advisory services, the VP of advisory services, and we could give you that answer.
Thank you.
And the thing I would add to that is, the only point I would add is that there are also, for some of the solutions we've talked about today, Sheila's team is starting to package some of these workflows and roles so that they can provide those solutions in less of a one-off custom manner, but in a more scalable manner. And that's something that would be, you know, strong Cisco value. And we think our SI partners will start to do more of that as well. To provide these integrated solutions.
So when you make those, basically that's extracting what they've learned then from some of these implementations and making it available. Is that going to be made available then to partners, just kind of abstracted level of knowledge for, say, different kinds of situations, different use cases, and so forth?
That would be a good question for Sheila, whether they'll use that in-house or whether they will be leveraging, you know, sharing that with, or to what degree they'll be sharing it with the partner community.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, that is star 1. And currently, you have no questions in the queue.
Okay. Thank you, Sophia. I would like to thank all of you for joining our call today, and thank you again, Manjula, Shalish, and Brian for presenting to our analyst audience. If you have any additional follow-up questions, please contact Ron Davis at ronadavi@cisco.com.
Thank you.
That's the conclusion of our call today, and I thank all of you for attending.
This concludes this presentation. You may now disconnect. Good day.